Hello and welcome to the Books on Asia podcast. I'm your host, Amy Chavez. And in this episode, I would like to introduce you to some new books coming out in 2026. I have about 10 books to tell you about, and we're going to start in order with January. Now, I have a couple books that have already been released. On the 13th, Phantom Paradise, Escape from Manchuria by K. Enokido was released by Bold Story Press, and I did receive an advanced review copy of this and read it, and it's very gripping. It has a good plot, it moves quickly, and I didn't want to put it down even when I was tired. It's a nonfiction account that revisits an overlooked humanitarian crisis from 1945, which is the collapse of Manchuria and the chaos that engulfed the Japanese citizens who were trapped there after the fall of the Japanese Empire. In this memoir, Kei Enokido, the author, recounts her mother's escape through the war-torn Manchuria with three young children, of which Kei was one of. And she draws her story from her mother's notebooks that she left. And she also intertwines this journey of her own story of identity and the hidden costs of pursuing the American dream. I enjoyed this book because it was told from a woman's point of view, a mother, and she talks about having to get out of Manchuria as quickly as possible with three young children because the Russians are coming and they're going to take over Manchuria. Her husband is away at war, and we don't find out what happens to him till the very end. And she has to do everything on her own. And it's a story about growth, too. The mother becomes a very strong woman, having to do everything on her own. And it's a very interesting and enlightening book that we don't hear much about regarding Manchuria and the fall of the Japanese Empire. The second book is a fiction fantasy by Nahoko Uehashi. This is Kokun, The Girl from the West, and it's translated by Kathy Hirano. This is a big immersive fantasy, and if you have read other books by Nahoko Uehashi, The Beast Player or the Moribito series, this has that same blend of rich world building. There's a lot of ecological thinking, and it's the opening of a larger saga. It's a big read, but one that really asks you to think about humanity's relationship to nature. I really enjoyed The Beast Player, so I'm looking forward to reading this one. The plot is about the girl from the West. The story is set in the vast Umar Empire, which has flourished for centuries thanks to a sacred grain called the Ohale rice. This rice is said to be immune to pests and disease, and it's the foundation of the empire's peace and prosperity. But suddenly, the miracle fails. The crops are destroyed, famine spreads, the political order begins to collapse. So the story follows two girls from very different backgrounds. One is Aisha, the granddaughter of a deposed king from the western region, and the other is Oli, the reigning Kokun. As Aisha discovers her own unusual ability to perceive the natural world through smell, the two girls begin to uncover the truth behind the rice, the myths that are propping up the imperial authority and the environmental imbalance that is now threatening the world. That will be published January 13th by Europa Editions. The next book will come out January 27th by Soft Skull Press. It's called When the Museum is Closed by Emi Yagi and is translated by Yuki Tejima. And I also received an advanced reading copy of this, and I have started it. I will say it's a little bit slow at the beginning, but I think that's the kind of book it is. It's very subtle, understated, and it's an interesting story, though. Now, Emi Yagi, she also wrote Diary of a Void, which was, I guess, quite a hit internationally. And this one also uses a kind of a surreal premise to talk about real pressures on women's lives. And now this one is shorter, and it's an approachable novel. It's about 256 pages, and the main character, Rika, lives a modest, almost invisible life. One day, she's offered an unusual job where once a week, on a Monday, she will visit the museum when it is closed and she will be paid to speak Latin to a statue of Venus. And at first, Rika finds the job awkward, but in the quiet of the empty museum, Vina begins to respond. So what starts as a one-sided conversation becomes dialogue and eventually intimacy. Rika falls in love, not just with Venus herself, but with the intellectual and emotional space the relationship opens up for her. The story becomes about ownership, control, and who gets to claim beauty and desire. The next releases are March. March 17th, we have Hooked, a novel of obsession by Asuko Yuzuki, translated by Polly Barton. Yuzuki's previous bestseller was Butter, also translated by Polly Barton. Hooked is a full-length novel and a fast, gripping read. It follows the character Eriko, a woman whose life looks perfect from the outside, but inside she harbors a deep loneliness. Eriko has never been able to sustain close relationships. She becomes obsessed with Shoko, a lifestyle blogger who has everything that Eriko lacks. When Eriko engineers a chance meeting, the two women strike up a tentative friendship, and for a brief moment it feels like a connection. But admiration turns into fixation, and the relationship begins to destabilize both women's lives. Yuzuki shows how control can disguise itself as care, and how the desire to be seen can push people into destructive behavior. On March 31st, a book by Knopf comes out by Mieko Kawakami. It's called Sisters in Yellow, and it's translated by Laurel Taylor and Hitomi Yoshio. If you've read Breast and Eggs, or Heaven, also by Mieko Kawakami, this collection returns to her core concerns in a more condensed form, and if you're new to her work, it might be a good introduction to her work. This is a short story collection. It brings together stories focused on relationships between women, sisters, friends, acquaintances, and sometimes people who really don't know each other but might be bound by circumstance. The stories, they turn on small moments like an offhand comment, a memory that resurfaces, a realization that shifts how a character sees herself or someone else. And in typical Kawakami fashion, the writing is spare and exact. She explores how power, gender, and vulnerability operate in everyday life, especially in moments that don't look dramatic from the outside. Moving on to May, from Pushkin Press, we have Hollow Inside by Asuko Otani and translated by Ginny Tapley Takemori. You may remember Takemori from past Books on Asia podcasts. We recently had her on to talk about Mornings Without Me, a literary memoir by Mayumi Inaba. But this book is the shortest one on my list here, and it's just over 100 pages. Hollow Inside follows two single women in their late 30s and early 40s who share an apartment in Tokyo because neither can afford to live alone. Both are ambivalent about marriage, stuck in unsatisfying jobs, and they're a bit anxious about aging. One of them begins a secret affair, which jolts the other back into the dating world, apps, awkward office conversations, and mounting anxiety about fertility. Running alongside this is a strange but poignant side business of 3D printing figurines of deceased pets for grieving owners. That just sounds so very Japanese, doesn't it? The novel deals with loneliness and emotional exhaustion, and loneliness does seem to be a common theme in books these days, and I think it's a good representation of Japanese society at the time right now. Next book on the list is one from Tuttle Publishing, which will come out May 12th, and it's called Japan's Anime Revolution, 20 Animated Films That Changed the World by Jonathan Clements. This is a nonfiction exploration of 20 pivotal Japanese anime films and how they shaped animation history, from early classics like Momotaro to international phenomena films like Spirited Away and Ghost in the Shell. I didn't realize Momotaro was an animated film. It seems to start off all like classic fairy tales and such, but I'll have to check that one out. So this book is positioned as like a history arts book. It would be good for anime fans, film historians, and anyone interested in Japan's cultural impact through animation. I haven't read this book. I have read some other books by Jonathan Clements. he just writes a whole scope of different kinds of books. And he does some military history also. And I have read Japan at War in the Pacific, The Rise and Fall of the Japanese Empire in Asia. And that was a really good book. So I think I just might pick up this animation book too and check it out. Another book by Pushkin Press Classics coming out May 26 is something I'm really looking forward to. Anyone who likes classic Japanese literature will also be happy to hear that a new translation is coming out. This one is called Troubled Waters, and it's by Ichio Higuchi, and it's translated by Brian Keretnik. This is a classic short story collection, and Ichio Higuchi was a pioneer Meiji-era Japanese writer whose short stories and novellas gave an emphatic voice to the lives of women and the urban poor. She's now regarded as one of Japan's first modern literary masters, writing at the end of the 19th century. And I have looked for her work, and there's just not that much of it translated, at least nothing very current. So I'm really excited that this book is coming out, and I'm definitely going to pick up a copy. Now, the stories in Troubled Waters focus on the small ways people try to preserve dignity when their choices are limited. Even though they were written more than a century ago, many of the pressures Higuchi describes feel strikingly contemporary. And I think, again, that's another thing. Although Japan had a great Taisho-era women's movement, and women made huge strides even after World War II, there's still something about being a woman in Japan. You still have issues to deal with that feel like they're very old. And so I think this is also a really good way to look into the lives of women and see how they were then and how they are now, and how women preserve their dignity. And I think a lot of that also is a theme that runs into loneliness and these novels of loneliness we have out now, even the cat books, the healing books. A lot of it deals with loneliness and dignity as well. So there's some interesting running themes in Japanese literature today that I think have been around for a long time, for that matter. The next titles are from Plum Rain Press out of Taiwan. I don't have exact publication dates on these, but reportedly these are 2026 titles. The first is Taiwan 22, Travels in Paradox by Terrell Eskelson. Now, Terrell is a Canadian living in Hokkaido, and he teaches and performs research at the university in Sapporo. But his book is about Taiwan. Taiwan 22 is a travelogue with a focus on Taiwan's unique history and international situation at the ground level. As the author travels around the country, including to outlying islands, he has insightful encounters and conversations with a wide range of people. Now, John Ross, the editor, says this was especially fun to edit. He loves travelogues, and he thinks Taiwan lacks one which gives a general yet comprehensive introduction to the island. So this book, he claims, will fill that void. Looking forward to reading that one. Another nonfiction book coming out with Plum Rain Press is called Hidden Formosa, Life and Travels in Rural Taiwan. It's a collection of pieces, an anthology, and John Ross is the editor, as he was for its predecessor and inspiration called Inaka, Portraits of Life in Rural Japan. Inaka means countryside in Japanese, and the Japan book was a compilation. Among the contributors are numerous names which Books on Asia listeners will recognize, including Sarah Coomber, Stephen Mansfield, John Dougal, Rebecca Towa, Leslie Downer, Sam Baldwin, and myself, Amy Chavez. So John lives in small town Taiwan, so the rural Taiwan topic is close to his heart. I hope he does as good a job with editing that one as he did with Inaka, Portraits of Life in Rural Japan. Now, Plum Rain Press reportedly also has two cycling books in the pipeline, one on Japan and another on China, and they have a Taiwan history book coming out soon as well, and it will feature stories from the Formosa Files, the History of Taiwan podcast. So that's all for now. Hope you've found some books to put on your TBR, your to-be-read list. I know I have. We're all going to be busy reading this year. And if you enjoyed this issue of the Books on Asia podcast, please hit subscribe, leave a comment on this episode if you're listening via Spotify, or leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Your comments and reviews help other like-minded listeners find us. Thank you so much. I'll also put all of those book titles in the show notes, and you can always visit the Books on Asia podcast website for additional information, www.booksonasia.net.